Okay, Rabosai. We're in the middle of discussing this end of Tosos de Bramastel, Bishop Chasel, Shel, Mitzik. And we saw it was the Shita of, let's just review briefly, I'm not going to put on the board again, the Shita of the Rashbam, the Shita of no one, 100% clearly, but the Rishonim called the Rashbam and Nida, who we don't have, you know, the original work of. And maybe Rashi here meant, to be shown some of the Bali Tosos understand that Rashi here meant this, even though it's not clear where to put the semicolon in Rashi, and I would not have interpreted that way. I would have said, Kohen Karavu, B'nei Habayis, etc., etc., and the Kohen was not so from, Lo Nizhar, Al-Zharas Nefesh, Lo Yitama. But maybe they have a different gersh, or maybe they read Rashi, the Kohen Karov, semicolon, who was Mutter, or B'nei Habayis, who wasn't Nizhar. So maybe the Sheet of Rashi, allegedly the Sheet of Rashbam, that it was mutter for the coin to be a time of the Nefil because he was a Karov. And Tosos has three objections. The first objection was, not such an objection was, who says he's a Karov? It's the Shifta's baby. But you could say she was just disposing of her mistress's baby. The third objection is a big Mitzoa Gadol Bahalacha. He says, but it's only mutter to be tied to a relative for tzorach tvura, not just whatever you want. But that's a big machlokas. And I said, you can look in this chachina, bring down all the shitas. It might have to do with hutra versus the chuya. And this is the sheet of Tosfos. And that's the shitas of the brachos nafchaf, where Tosfos says the chuya. It's only nidche for the mitzvah of tvura. But Rashi here could hold, like Rashi sounds like in brachos nafchaf, that it's Hotra, no, the Torah just never asked Toma of a Karov. And therefore, that's not necessarily a Kasha. That's a known Machlokes Rishonim. The middle Kasha of Tosus is against the Torah's Kohanim. And that, it's true, it is against the Torah's Kohanim. The Torah's Kohanim is a Furish Drasha, that a coin is not Matame Lin Nefelim. And to defend this Rashi and Hashbam, you just have to say that they're against the Torah's Kohanim, but they held that the Bavli didn't hold like the Torah's Kohanim. Okay, it's now great proof why. Even our Gemara, I mean, how do we know that Kohen is doing something mutter? But okay, that's what you have to defend. I just wanted to point out briefly that the Magen Avraham brings down a very fascinating machlokas about this Torah's Kohanim, which really ties into some very big lumdus that affects Kol Torah Kula. The Torah's Kohanim says one thing. It says that a Kohen cannot be metame to a Nefel. That's what the Torah's Kohanim says. Meaning, a Nefel is Mufka from Tumas Kohanim. How do you read this Torah's Kohanim? So, if you look in the Magen Avraham here, that I put on the Makor sheet in Hilchos Yontif, the Ramah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, which we're not going to get into now, that the Minhag HaOlam we know is to give a Bris Milah to a stillborn baby, Lo Aleinu, and you can't give the Bris Milah on Yontif, it's not Tocha Yontif, it's just a Minhag B'Alma. And the Ramah says, you can't even bury a Nefel on Yontif. Because apparently the Ramah thinks there's no mitzvah to bury a Nefel. And, sorry. He quotes from the Agos Maimonios, that there's no mitzvah of Kvura Nefel, that there's no mitzvah of Kvura of a Nefel, and then from the Tosfos Shans, that there is a mitzvah of Kvura of a Nefel, and the Magen Avraham is not convinced by the Hagos Maimonios. The Hagos Maimonios says there's no mitzvah of Kvura of a Nefel. What's the proof? In this case, they threw the Nefel into a boar. He says that's not a good proof. After all, a boar is Kvura. It's underground. Maybe that is Kvura of the Nefel. Okay, without getting into the proofs, his second proof is fascinating, says the Magen Avraham. So, his proof is fascinating. He says, from this Torah's Kohanim. The Torah's Kohanim says, we're mima'et a Nefel from Tumas Krovim. Ah, but according to Tosos, there's only half min of Tumas Krovim for the Mitzvah of Tvura. So what does that show? There is a Mitzvah of Tvura, but we're mima'et him from Tumas Krovim, even though he has a Mitzvah of Tvura. So the Magen Avraham proves that there must be a mitzvah of tvura by a nefel, because otherwise you wouldn't need to be mimayim him from Tumas Kohanim. Okay, what might the what would the Hagos Maimonios say back to him? Lechora, the Agos Maimonides would say back to him that, well, not, you could think of more than one way, but perhaps what he say back to him is, no, that's the whole point of the Torah's Kohanim. They remind from Thomas Kohanim because he doesn't really count as a mace. And once he doesn't really count as a mace, there's no Chiv Tvur either. Maybe it's just in one fell swoop, one big drasha. So it could be there's two ways to understand this drasha of the Torah's Kohanim. I think these are the only two ways. But if you have the Torah's Kohanim, who says there's no het or tumah, says the Torah's Kohanim, there's no heter of tumas krovim. L'nefel, says the Magen Avraham, what does this prove? That there is chiyav tvura, just not a heter tumah. Special tumas kasuv, there's no heter tumah, even though there's a chiyav tvura. After all, let's discuss with a lot of people, there's no heter of tumah. But maybe the way the Agos Maimonides understood is that there's no heter tumah, what's it teaching us? Because there's no chiyuv kfura, because he's not a real mace. What do I mean? Lainian Thomas mace, and Nephil is considered a mace. That's clear. That's the whole basis of our sugya. There's Thomas mace by Nephil. Okay, but not everything that has Thomas mace necessarily means that you're a personality of a mace, right? There is Thomas mace of a Nephil. After all, there's also Thomas mace of Abram and Achai. That doesn't mean that Abram and Achai is a mace. That doesn't mean there's a Chiyuv Kfura of Abram and Achai. Doesn't mean there's a Heter of Thomas Kohanim for Abram and Achai. No, Thomas mace is on a lot of things that may or may not be a mace. But maybe the machlokas here is a very fundamental machlokas I'm claiming as to the status of a Nephil. And what we do with this Thomas, do we view this Thomas Kohanim very restrictedly? Of course a Nephil is a mace. But there's a particular exception. There's no heter of tumah. Or do we say, no, Igloi Milsei, it's teaching us, don't think a Nephil is a real mace. A Nephil is not a real person. But it is a real mace. If you ask, hold on, yeah?
There's still some tumah.
There's still tumah. Everyone agrees there's tumah.
It's not real.
Okay.
All of a mace, but not.
What do I mean here? Okay, look, I'd say on the one hand, what do we see? We see on the one hand, in some ways, he's treated like a mace. He has Thomas mace, right? A Nephil is Thomas mace. That's clear beyond a shadow of a doubt. On the other hand, for example, there's no avelus for a Nephil. Everyone knows there's no avelus for a Nephil. So why is there no, if there's no avelus, then he's not a real dead person. He's just a hunk of flesh. It's just a hunk of flesh. If there's Thomas mace. So I guess basically you have to say, look, there's questions where you fit. Like there are certain facts that we know. The facts that we know are that there's no heter Thomas Krovin, there's no avelus, and there's no and there is Thomas mace. So what do you have to say? It is a real mace. Either way, right? It's metame be'olhel, right? So, or you have to say, no, even something that's not a real mace is metame be'olhel. After all, Ephraim and Achai is also metame be'olhel. Thomas mace is expanded. Even if something's not the full mace, then there's still metame be'olhel. So no, this is chumrah of Thomas mace, shaharei gam Abram and Achai metame be'olhel. Even though there's no chiyuv kvura, there's no heter tumah, etc. On the other hand, there's clearly no avelus, right? Which makes sense if he's not a real mace. What if you say, no, a Nephil is a real mace, is a real person? Why is there not avelus? So then you could easily answer, like, this isn't why he says it, but I put in brackets here a very famous Shagas Aryeh. The famous Shagas Aryeh quotes from the Ramban and expands on it based on Ramban Thomas HaAdam. He says, you know why there's no avelus on a Nephil? because the family is not so sad. Ein libo tove elav. And therefore, it makes many chidushim. That's not our topic. Shai says, what about a suffix nefel? Is a suffix nefel potter from helos be suffix? There's a big lump, there's an abelos. Suffix nefel, right? Lo alenu, baby dies before 30 days. Suffix nefel. Right? We're not sure if he's viable. Potter from abelos. That potter from abelos be suffix? Is abelos be rabbanon? Or is that potter from abelos be vadai? Shai says, potter be vadai. Why? Because as long as he's a suffix nefel, the lave is not. I would say the lave is not mourning, because you can't mourn for someone unless you're sure that they're alive. So you could just say like the Shagas Aryeh, like the Shagas Aryeh, who really quotes this from the Rabban, Utter me of Elos, he ain libo Daveol. So clearly, we know he has some in-between status. There is Tumas baseline, they fell. Yeah. But there's no Avelos, no Heter, Tumas Kohen. And the Nafgamina is, what about everything that's not Mefurish in the Pasuk, right? The Nafgamina is, what about, as we said above, right? Chiyuv Tvura. Here you have the, again, this is exactly what we said, the Hagos, Manios. And here you have the Magen Avraham, who says that there is no key of Tvura. Another interesting nafgamina, which you discussed briefly there, there's a lot of nafgaminas. I don't have a lot of makoros on all of them. But, for example, how about the minhag? It's hard to, minhagim are just minhagim. But, why is there a minhag to give a bris milah to an eifel? Why is there a minhag to give a bris milah to an eifel? Interesting question. So, if you look at the Magen Avraham quoted in the beginning from the Hagos Maimini, a very strange Hezber, right? He says, for Takanas Poshim, because the Medrash that says that anyone who goes to Gehenna with the Bris Milah is saved. So what does Hashem do to the Poshe Yisrael, the wicked Yidden? He takes the Arla off of the Nefel and puts it on to the Yisrael Rasha and keeps him in Gehenna. Therefore, we have to give a bris milah to the Nefel before we bury him. This is a bris milah Nefel. Why? To save the Russian Jews from Gehenna, so Hashem won't have an Orla put on them. Okay, and don't ask me to explain all of the metaphysics behind this, but the point is that he says the minig is not because the Nefel needs a bris milah. The minig is because we just don't want to have a lot of Orlas hanging around that would be dangerous to the other Jews in Gehenna. However, if you look in the Beis Yosef in Yoredei Hilchos Milos and Reish Samad Gimel, he quotes from the Kolbo, who says, no, it's a cherpa to the Nefel to have an Arla. It's embarrassing to the Nefel to have an Arla, meaning the Nefel himself needs a bris milah. Not only that, Reb Nachshon Gaon says that it's so that the Nefel can get to Tchias HaMeisim. Right? We want the Nefel to have Tchias HaMeisim, so we give him a bris milah. So I think that could also be, if you ask, like, what's the Sivas HaMinhag? Now, if you say he's not really, and this is really where the Hagdol's Manus is coming from, right? He's not really a real person. This is not a dead person. This is just tissue, right? So, then, what's the story? The story is it's a little funny. Like, you can really fool Hashem that way. Okay, I'm not trying to explain the philosophy behind this, but it is, it's really just for other people. Or do you say no? Again, if you look in your data, your Beis Yosef, your Beis Gimel, it's for for him, or with Nachshon Gaon, who's quoted there, for Tzvi Yisrael, meaning is that he needs a bris milah. Now, again, you can't necessarily rise from and hug him, but again, if you really viewed him as a real person, then you would understand that he needs a bris milah. Not al pi halacha, but al pi hashkafa, not more than hashkafa. You know, al pi metaphysics to get the case of asim, so that it will be embarrassing for him. If you say he's not a real case, then you're just removing things that will be a stumbling block for other people. And there can be many other nafgaminas. As a matter of fact, Samachlokas, Amaram, Tanam, a few places in Shas. Is there Tchias HaMeisim for a Nefel or not? There's a big deal in the post-game. Is the Nefel Asur HaNa? Meis is Asur HaNa. Is there an Isra HaNa by Nefel? And that ties into a lot of what this about why there's a Gishran on base. And we're not going to go through Shemitahs now, but maybe you could say, is there an Gishran Hanava? Right? This was some big political thing that some of the right-wingers in America made a big deal of, right? Taking fetal tissue in Planned Parenthood, they accused them of being nene from the Velim. Oh, maybe that's not a problem. Who says that's a bad thing? A mistama, the Hagos, one of us would probably say that what's the big deal? This is not a mace. I understand that it's Matami Ba'ol. But everything that's Matami Ba'ol is not really have the zechuyos of a person. Not really get the covenant of a person. After all, you don't have to marry it. While they could have his stomach, you would expect the Lagan Abraham to say that a nephil might be also Anna. Okay, so that's why is this interesting? These nafkaminas all, I sort of tried to stick on this board to nafkaminas of the status of the Nephil. The Nephil who's dead, right? Is he considered a mace, mamish a mace Adam, who is all the dinam of mace Adam? Or no, he's considered, it's like an Aver of some sort. It's like an Aver that's Matami. There's some Avarim that are Matami. After all, it is interesting. How do we even know that a Nephil is Matami? Here I'm not sure. You know, the Rambam quotes a drusha. Not exactly sure what the drusha, what the drusha actually means. The mace the nefesh. He's even a mace that's in someone else's nefesh. You know, so, you know, I don't know, maybe would you say he sparks his batami the mace, the ohel? Or no, it's only me special drusha. That might also tie in. Lemaisa, this also obviously connects to the question of how about before is a nefel? Right? Every nefel was once a biologically living uber, a fetus, right? So if the nephil may or may not be considered a real person with a mace, then the much bigger, weightier question is the uber considered a person who's alive? Obviously not a full person for all intents and purposes, but the whole question of the status of an uber, right, is abortion murder or not, right? You see the politicians arguing about this, not only politicians arguing about this, it's Shonim arguing about this in the 8th Parak of Sanhedrin, Rashi and the Rambam, whether an Uvar is considered a person or not, you know, whether it's considered a Ritzicha to abort a fetus or not. So this really is my all tie in to this Magen Avraham. I'm not saying everything necessarily depends on everything, but I'll be Pashtus. You would think the status of the Uber after he dies and becomes an Aphel should just be a continuation of the status of before he died and was an Uber. If an Uber is really a person, just a very small person, then an Aphel is a very small mace. If an Uber is not a person, just a potential person, but not any status in and of itself, an Uber is a potential person, and an Aphel is nothing because the potential was not realized. So this might really tie into very, very big fakiras that affect all of Kol Tzarkula, but we'll leave it at this for now. We'll stick with our sugya, and we'll go find her. Let us move then to Amud Beis. Tosos to
Rabbi,
yes.
Rabbi,
yes.
In the Hagos Maimonios, he says, "Va'od mashenogu lahasar alaso ein minok shel Torah." He was totally against it.
No, I don't think he means it. I think he just means that it's not a halacha. It's just a minhag the alma. It's just a custom. I don't think he's against it. I don't think
it's no,
it's not an obligation. It's merely a custom. That's what he means.
No, I don't think. I think he's va'filu im tomer de'enu alakum v'chatech boser ba'alma mikom makom osur v'talta'lo ke'evan.
Okay, but that's just because it's
maybe
merely
it's only
a custom. The halachic valence. I don't think he was against the minhag. He didn't tell people not to circumcise the nephil. He just says it's not a halachic obligation. Halachic okay, I think that's what he means. He's just arguing that you shouldn't think it's dovidantic. You shouldn't give it halachic status. He's not arguing that it's a bad thing. He's in favor of, the takanas potion. Okay, Tosos Diver Maskel Safik. Right, Tosos here is dealing with the geography of this board that the coin was standing on. What does the Gemara say? Safik. The Gemara says it is a suffix for suffix, right? That's the first answer to the Torah, is that it's suffix for suffix. Maybe it was an Eiffel, maybe it wasn't. So Tosos says, hold on a second, where was this boar? And I think all the Rishonim agree to Tosos about this. Where was this boar? If the boar is a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then and it was a suffix nafel in the first place, because maybe it was a ruach, maybe it was a nafel, then why do you need this suffix that the chul and barbel is dragged away? One suffix is enough to be tarvish shes rabim. That's what he says in Tomer Haibor Hekilkoi, Iber shes rabim, afil was mega achas tar. Right? So I don't think any of the Rishonim think that the boar is Bershus Rabin. So the boar is Bershus Rabin, then the Gemara doesn't make sense. Then one suffix is good enough. Why do you need two sefekos? Rather, the boar is Bershus Yachid. So now it tells us, yes, Bershus Yachid, my Mishani Sheitila commit Nefel the boar. How does it help that it's only a suffix Nefel? That's non called sefekos, sefekos, shatz a yachel, a heart, shatz a yachid, tame. It's the Mishnah says in Taros, and also all Rishonim read this Mishnah Kipshuto, even a sefek of Shayach is Tahar. It's Tamei, I mean. So there's no problem. Rishonim, the greatest cholder bar, the Sabi Safik, Rahul, Barashu, the El. Same answer that was his main answer on Amud Aleph, that we'll mention again soon, which is that it's not a 50-50 Safik whether the cholder bar to us ate the Nefel. It's likely that they ate the Nefel. And even though fake Sveika is thought Tamei Mishnah Yachid, a Rov is still Matar Mishnah Yachid. And it's Rov odds, it's more likely that the Cholder Bartles ate the Nefel then that he didn't. And therefore, fine. The Boar is the Sefer Gomor. The Boar is Mishnah Yachid. To the best of my knowledge, all the Rishonim who discuss it, Rishonim don't discuss it, agree that the Boar is Mishnah Yachid. Right? So let's just give that. The Boar equals Rishus HaYachid. That's why, if there's no Cholder Bardalus, the Suffolk Nefel would have been Metameh. And if there is Cholder Bardalus, then it's Metaher, not Midin Sveik Sveika, which doesn't apply according to almost all Rishonim in Rishus HaYachid, like Pshat and Mishnah, rather because of Rov, because they usually eat it. Okay, that's the easy part. Here, the hard part is, now Tosos gets a question. He doesn't say it as a question. Tosfos doesn't always say in Tomer Yishlomer. Sometimes he starts with the answer. The question is, if the boars were shayachid, then even if the cholder bargles, then let's go to the second answer. The first answer forced us to say, it's dachuk to say the difference between the two answers, shayachid sarab. Right? The second, the first answer, safek and safek, forced us to say that it was in shayachid. The second answer, vaday uvaday, now we have a problem. If the Cholder and Bartles vadai, again, even though it's only a suffix, but they eat, but they vadai, drag it, b'hau shaita, right away, even if it came 5 minutes later, vadai, within 1 minute, they drag it to their rear, into their hole. So, here's the problem, hold on. We're saying it's vadai, vadai, because there's sure no tum in the boar. Shkaif, there's no tum in the boar, but there's tuma in a hole. I mean, what's the hole? The hole is next to the boar, right? Here's the boar. And then there's a little hole in the side of the boar. It has a little lair somewhere. So there's tuma underground near the boar. How does that help? If there's tuma underground near the boar, and the Kohen's standing, forget his face is above the boar. Oh, the boar is clean. Vada, the boar is clean. Yeah, but his feet are on a cemetery because there's a dead body under the ground somewhere. That is the classic question of Tosos, right? The question is, if it's Bershus HaYachid, yeah, this is what I'm asking. If it's Rishus HaYachid and the Kohen standing on one side of the boar, let's say there are four sides of the boar. I mean, you can divide the sides of the boar however you want. You know, I don't know, the circumference of the boar is 8 feet and the Kohen's a foot and a half wide. 6 feet, the Kohen's a foot and a half wide, right? So he's standing on a quarter, one of the four sides of the boar. Okay, so there's a quarter odds he's standing on top of a mace. So that's to be Safek Tomer Rishus HaYachid. So that's the question. The question is that the Kohen might be standing above the Nefel, which is in the Chor of the animal, and even though he might not be, but Safek Tuma Bershus HaYachid is Tamei. That's the question. Here, the Rishonim argue, they give a bunch of answers.
Who's the first one?
What?
Doesn't the Gemara say that he ate it, not that he hit it?
No. Let's remember the Mahalach of the Gemara. The Havamina is Safek Mosu Vadai. There's Vadai Nefel, the animal probably ate it. The first answer is suffik or suffik. There may or may not be a nefel, and the animal probably ate it. The second answer is vadai vadai. Their vadai was a nefel, but it doesn't say the animal vadai ate it, because we know that's not Metzia's truth, the animal vadai eats it. Rather, it changes to another second answer of the Gemara and says there's vadai nefel, but it's okay because the animal vadai dragged it into its lair, and it's not on the boar anymore. But the only vadai is dragging, not eating. So if the only vadai is dragging, not eating, then that means that the animal is someplace around here, so maybe it's going standing on it. So that is Tosfos' question. So what is Tosfos' answer? Omer read the Sarach Loma, the Ragli, Kohen Hayu, Rishus HaRabim. Okay, skipping a bit. Says, what are the answers? The answer is number one, Tosos, or the Re. Right? He says, no. Ragli HaKohen. The boar is Rishus HaYachid, but the ground next to the boar is Rishus HaRabim. Okay, you understand that's a little bit of a dachko kipta. Usually you think either the place Rishus HaYachid or the place Rishus HaRabim. But no, he's Mechadish. The boar is Rishus HaYachid because no one goes into the boar. And the ground is Rishus HaRabim because everyone walks around the, everyone walks on the ground. No, but we're not worried about him leaning over the board. We're worried about where his feet are. Remember, the problem is that he may be standing above the nafal lachor, not in the board. The board is clean. The board is vadai clean, right? Again, this is...
The suffix is not where... But the suffix isn't where the Kohen is standing. The suffix is their tumah in the board or not, which is their shusar yach.
No. This is on the second answer. What does the second answer say? That vadai... There's no nafel in the boar. Vadai, there's no nafel in the boar. Agav, if you look in Tosfos, compare Tosfos and David here, the footnote of David points it out, it's a little unclear what you call the airspace above the boar. But that's not our topic. Vadai, there's no nafel in the boar. Vadai geru b'ha'u shaita. But, vadai, there's no nafel in the boar. But maybe there is a nafel in the chor of the, let's just call it the Hulda, Liyad HaOmer, right? That's what we're saying. But maybe there is a Nafel next to the board. So the coin's not looking over the Nafel, but he's standing, his feet, his face is not over a Nafel. That's Vadei Gerub, but his feet might be over the Nafel. That's Tosfos' question. So his first answer is, no problem. His feet are Rishus HaRabim. The boar is Rishus HaYachid, but the area around the boar is Rishus HaRabim. This is the Chiddush. Basically, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that if you have a Rishus HaRabim and there's a boar in the Rishus HaRabim, that boar can still be Rishus HaYachid. You don't say it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, that's the Chiddush of Tosfos. It's a Chiddush to say that a hole in the street is a Rishus HaYachid. I would just say it's part of the street. I don't mean Linyan Shabbos. I know that in Shabbos we have rules, depends, right? If it's 9 tefachim deep, or if it's less than 3 tefachim deep, or between 3 and 9, or more than 10, you know, is it 4 tefachim wide, or less than 4 tefachim wide? The Hilchos Tumah B'Tahara doesn't go by Hilchos Shabbos for a Shiyos necessarily. The Chiddush here is that a pit in the street is Rishus HaYachid, where the David says he brings in Hilchos Shabbos, even though we know it says only if it's 10 deep and 4 wide. Okay, that's the Chiddush. Right? What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that a boar in a Rishus HaRabim can be a Rishus HaYachid. And you don't say just part of this room or this yard. No, I don't think so because the... really, the Rishus HaRabim Geder and Bava Kama, and the Rishus HaRabim Geder and Shabbos, the Rishus HaRabim Geder and Tumah are really different Gedarim. That's why in Bava Kama they don't bring into the Tara there. So I think that's a different Geder. Okay, so this is a Chiddush of Tosfos, but then it works out. The Chiddush is they vadai dragged it not into the boar. Remember, Chor is not a boar. They vadai dragged it to the Chor. The Chor is no problem because the Chor is under Rishus HaRabim. Only the boar would be a problem because that's Rishus HaYachid. Okay, but it's a Chiddush. It's a Chiddush. He has to make the right Okimta. You know, that no one. And the Okimta is not so hard. What's the Okimta? a lot of people don't go into the board. Okay, but also that, like, it's not such a hard okimta. But not everyone uses every board. But, like, mamish, there's a hole in the middle of Times Square. That hole is Rosh Hashanah. That's a chiddush. But it's a chiddush he's willing to make to answer the question.
I was thinking, but, like, let's say just the way very present the case. But let's say, hold on, I think that there are some families who hold that wouldn't that role.
Yeah, bother.
So we can just say that if there's a role that probably not stand on the tongue. Like, where's the four? Like, oh, there's four sides.
Okay, you're right. That is a good question. Why don't we just say a roof is not standing over the tumma? I think I agree to the question because I said over the case too well. I said over the case too well. So I think I led you down a dead end because he walked around the board. We don't know exactly where he walked, where he didn't. You know, we don't know the exact path he took and what percentage and where the chor is. You know, I think it's hard to have a clear roof there. Because we don't know how much he walked and where he put exactly his body parts outside the bore. So I don't think we have a rope bore there. That's what I think. What if we did? Then maybe, you know, like it was like cordoned off for corona with capsules, then I don't know. But let's assume there's no corona in those days. You know, it's a little bore. He's walking. He doesn't know exactly where, you know. So that doesn't bother me. What's the second answer? Also skipping the middle. He says, V'od yesh lomar deragli koin bershusay yachid hayu. Vigaru vachlu havi safek ha ragil. Okay, says Tosos, no problem. Right, this is, I don't know who this is. Tosos? Okay, second answer. He says, no, avadim zir sayachid. It's too dachu to say the boar has a different status in the area next to the boar. So, what's the issue? Why is he not? Tamei, after all, let's just read the Tosos. For sure, there's not an opening of a tefach in the chor. If the chor is a tefach wide, then how does it help to drag into the chor? If the chor is a tefach wide, it's open to the board with an opening of a tefach. Two rooms that are open to each other with an opening of a tefach. Goes from one to the other. So the tumah does go to the board. The raglav shayachin nechashem garu neger raglav tumah b'kasva oled. If he's standing with Shayachim, maybe they dragged it under his feet, and the Toma goes up through the ground, like a cemetery, right? Cemetery's Tommy, the Mason underground, yeah, the Toma goes up. The Odia Shlomar, second answer, directly from Shayachim, he says, no problem. He says, Garu Vachlu, Habi Safaga Ragel. Here you have to just ask, what does he say? He says that, what is he in Safaga Ragel, right? Garuhu ve'achluhu have Safek haragel. What does it mean? It's a rove that the ate it. It's a vade the animal dragged it, and also a rove the animal ate it. And therefore, what do we see? Right? Meaning, vadai geruhu, and probably, right? Alpirov achluhu, and therefore, what we say, your tari even a rove works even versus a yachid. Ain't selfing most of the vaday. No, there's never a vaday was under your feet. Maybe it was in a different place, not under your feet, right? So, therefore, it's no problem. What do we say? Basically, this is suffic. Basically, what he's saying is, even the answer of vaday motzvidei vaday also is relying on suffing motzvidei suffing, right? What is saying this answer? Let's just review according to Tosos what the second answer of Gemara is. The second answer of Gemara is a double answer. It's that le'inyan habor and le'inyan makom raglav. Obviously, raglav means lobbed off his feet, means any part of his body that is above the ground, any place outside the bor. What's the assumption? He's not hugging and above the ground, even if he was hugging. You know, he's not hugging and then spreading his arms and running around in concentric circles and walking over every square inch outside the bore. So leaning in the bore, vadai b'sham nefel, but vadai, the animal's dragging away, vadai, Tachas raglov and raglov lavdov. Suffic whether the hole where he dragged the navel is under my body or not. And suffic multiple day suffic. In Rosh Hashanah Yochid, one suffic is not multiple day suffic, a regular suffic, because that's fake sveika. But rov, rov sikuyem, that's what you say about in Hebrew, right?
Not any rov, just the rov or
regular. Suffic multiple day suffic. Right, no problem. So he's saying the second answer is really a Svada Milzvidei Vadai and a Suffing Milzvidei Suffing.
It's not any Rove, though, is it? Really? It's not any Rove. It's a Rove Haragil, though.
No, no. It's a Suffing Haragil, which means a Rove. I think any Rove. I think it is any Rove. Okay. Now, let's just see what the other Mishnah think. How does Rashi answer this question? Is Rashi bothered by this question? What? You know what? Even before we get to Rashi, there are a few answers. Some of them are a little more radical. Let's go to Rashi. How does Rashi answer the question? Bible, what are you saying? Rashi answered this question. Rashi was bothered by this also. Rashi says, how do we know Rashi was bothered by this question? Well, once we start reading Tosfos about the Masechta Tefach, we look back in Rashi and say, when we read Rashi at first, we might not have, unless we're sensitive, like the Marshal was, we might not have understood why he was saying something that seemed irrelevant. We read also to understand what Rashi was saying. What does Rashi say? The Stam Chor Chol the Bardalus Vosef Tefachu. Oh, well, Stam Chor, after all, the Chol the Bardalus, they're big guys. The Stam of the Chor is a Tefach thing. Right? You could disagree. Tosos could easily disagree, because I don't know, it's funny. You ever see these animals sneaking through these small holes in the fence? It always surprises me. So I'm not going to say I personally have a scientific opinion on what the Stam Chor of anything is. Because the cat mama squeezes this much. But says Rashi, the Stam Chor is Mosef Tefach. We get rule of Choron, and they brought him the Chor, and he wasn't Mahil. So why is Rashi saying it's a Tefach? What's Rashi Shita? Says Rashi, that Stam Chor Bardalas is Poseya Tefach. Hosef Tefach means it has a, I think that's the word use. Yeah, it has a Tefach of space inside, right? And therefore, since it has a Tefach of space inside, a Tefach of space is an Ohel, and an Ohel is Mafsik Torah. Let me just give you an example. There's a Ksayas Min HaMeis right here, right? This blue guy, you guys can't see me. This blue guy is a Kzayas Min HaMeis on the floor. And it's going to be much better on the board. Let's say, here's the floor, here's the Kzayas Min HaMeis, right? It's a bloody Kzayas Min HaMeis. And I put an Ohel on him. I built a little roof here. And that roof is not a Tefach high. What happens? That's called Toma Ritzutza, squash Toma, which has no Tefach above it. It's Bokaska, all the Bokaska are red, it goes up and down. But let's say I have a Gzayas Min HaMeis, and I build a roof of Tefach high, right? Like a house, for example, etc. Then it blocks the Toma. If there's a dead body in the house, I can walk on the roof of the house, and the Toma is blocked. Why? Because there's an Ohel, and an Ohel blocks the Toma. That's called Vosef Tefach. I put another OL here, it would block the Tumah. By another OL, correct. Correct. It can be blocked by another OL, yes. Absolutely. If I had like a cemetery where there was just tons of bones and dead people, etc., all buried squished in the ground, all I would have to do is build archways over that cemetery and then I could walk there. Right, of course, what do you do? Everyone knows what the definition of parking, right? You build a double set of archways, right? Just in case anyone needs to know some architecture. How do you walk anywhere you want without any tumah? They do this nowadays sometimes in the Mahadim or Tzfat or something. If here is the ground, then who knows what's under the ground? No problem. You just build a set of archways. Fill it in to make it livable, right? I don't know why we're talking about this, but I like architecture. Now, what's the problem? The problem is it doesn't help, because when you walk over this in between the archways, it's still Tumer Tzutzah all the way up. So no problem, you just build double archways. etc. And you see, now there's always an ohel blocking you from the Tumah, because if either you're above the first archway or you're above the second archway, that's what they used to do in the old days for Paraduma, etc. If you want to be fancy schmancy. So if you ever need to take care of this, now you've learned your architectural lesson from me. You can thank me at the bottom of the blueprints. Just build double archways. Fine. Anyway, Viter. Says Rashi, Poseach Tefach, and Poseach Tefach is Mafsik the Torah. What does Tosfos say? Why doesn't Tosfos like Rashi's answer? It's not that he couldn't think of it, right? Did Sarach, he says the Al Karch were in lack of Poseach Tefach. For sure there's not a Poseach Tefach. Why? Because if there's a Poseach Tefach, then the Tumah will go out to the bar. Because what's the rule? Let's remember the rule. Right? You ever been at, I don't know if you, they must have this fancy schmancy in America also now. But when I was in America, what did Kohanim do before I made Aliyah? If a Kohen went to a funeral, he couldn't go to the funeral home. He stayed outside and they put a little loudspeaker there. That was the technology. They had a microphone with a loudspeaker outside for the Kohanim. Okay, then it got like fancier, schmancier, and I was at one funeral home in America where there was like a little room across the parking lot for Kohanim with a closed circuit TV, where it projected the funeral. But now we're much fancier than that. If you go in Gush Etzion, the funeral home, what do? They have a big room for all the Israelim. They have a small side room for the Kohanim. And in the small side room for the Kohanim, there's a plexiglass wall so they can see. And there's little holes in the plexiglass wall so they can hear. How is that okay? Because the wall blocks the Tumah. Doesn't the Tumah go through the holes in the wall? No, because the holes are less than a tefach, the Tumah doesn't go through. Right? So they just make holes less than a tefach. You can make as many holes as you want less than a tefach. You know, it could be 90% holes less than a tefach. Okay, if you make a hole a tefach, then the Tumah would go through. Like, what's the problem? I mean, without getting so to what's this, etc. You know, what's the problem with dead bodies in hospitals, etc.? That often there's an opening of a tefach from this room to that room, from that room to that room. You have different rooms. If there's an opening of a tefach from one place to another, then the Tumah travels. Okay. Now, says Tosfos, hold on a second. If there's an opening of a tefach, then the Tumah will travel from the chor to the bor, and whoever leans over the bor will be tummy, and you haven't solved the problem. So obviously it must be less than a tefach.
It's the kaver lemito chabor.
The Tumah, which goes all the way up. So, there's only, you're not sure. There's only two ways to know. Either you just read Rashi and Tosfos and think logically and it's obvious what they both mean. Or, and this is why I gave you the brackets, because I know everyone here can think logically, but some of us might be a little rusty on our ohelos. Or you look at the Marsha and the Marsha and they explain it to you. But no, there's no way to tell. That's a problem. So hold on a second. You'll excuse me for turning my back. I just want to erase a little more of the board.
Rabbi, the Tumah travels into the bor and from there it's Bokad Ve'ola.
Hold on. Let me just remember how to take a picture. And then I will answer your question. Something's funny. Oh, okay. I'm good. Okay. Let's just see what Rashi says. Rashi says...
Rabbi and Tosfos, the Tumah travels into the bor and from there to the Kavdola.
All right, okay. Here is the chor. Here's the bor, and here is the chor. Right? What does Tosfos say? Tosfos sounds like it's not so clear, but Tosfos uses the Well, not so clear. What are the three possibilities? One possibility is that this is lower than a tefach. Or, I don't know how to say that. Okay. Hachos b'tefach. What do you mean? It's probably tefach long, but it's not a tefach wide or not a tefach high. Then what happens? Then what's the din? If it's hachos b'tefach, and here is then, this is called tuma ritzutza, and it goes up. Right? If here's the nafel, then the tuma goes up. Says Rashi, it is poseach tefach. Not pachas b'tefach, but it is a tefach. And here is your handy dandy nafel. What's the problem if it's a tefach? Tosfos points out a tefach. Now, where's the Kohen's face? Right? Let's remember where the Kohen's face is. Here is the, I have no idea what color Kohen's face is. Here is the Rosh of the Kohen. Right? Here is the Kohen's face, the Kohen's head. So what's the problem? The problem is Moseach Tefach. Then here's one Ohel, which is the roof by the Kohen's head. Here's another Ohel, which is this Chor. And there's Moseach Tefach between them, then they're combined. Right? So then the problem is that the Tuma, it goes through this whole tent. And now look, it's one big Ohel. One room is a bor whose roof is the Kohen's head. The other room is the Chor. There's a Moseach Tefach between them, so the Tuma travels. Now, here is a very, very mechudish Tosfos Rid in the parallel sugya of Avodah Zarah, who wants to say there's Tuma don't travel out here. He wants to make a big chiddush, which is against all the poskim. In the footnotes of the Tosfos Rid, he says, Yidivri Rabbeinu Rafsin Igri, right? He wants to say tremendous chiddush that a Moseach Tefach only brings the Tuma from an actual room to an actual room, like a place with the kavur roof to a place with the kavur roof. If one place is a room and the other place just has someone's head on top of it, then opening the tefach doesn't bring the tuma. I mean, opening the tefach only combines two kavur rooms. It doesn't make it as if his head is a joint ohel with his horn. But that's a big kiddush, because pashas, once his head is above it, it's one big ohel. So, okay, how do you defend Rashi? How do you defend Rashi, right? How do you defend Rashi? So one way is a tremendous chiddush of the Tosfos Rid, right? What does Tosfos say to Rashi? Right? This is maybe Rashi. This is maybe Tosfos. Pashup Shai. This is probably Tosfos. Right? Maybe Tosfos. How do you defend Rashi? Right? But you have Koshyas Tosfos. So one way is the tremendous chiddush of the Tosfos written up of Zara. It's not even clear to me what he means. I think this is what he means. This is that the footnotes understand, and the footnotes is Zax. Understand the Tosfos Rid. And it's a tremendous chiddush. Maybe Moseach Tefach is not going to be a problem if it's not a real roof, just a person. Moseach Tefach only combines two real roofs. It doesn't combine where I'm leaning over with a real roof. Again, that's a big chiddush, right? Big chiddush, which is that, a Moseach Tefach doesn't combine a real roof and me leaning as a roof. Okay, that's a big chiddush. That's against
the
all
the coin's head doesn't even cover the whole board, is it?
That's an interesting question. If the coin head is not covering the whole board, then even forget about these animals, etc. Why don't we just say it's a suffix, whether you use mahil or not, unless the answer is that's a rishus hayachid. But then, you know,
I mean, do you have to say Tosfos Rid?
Back to Tosfos Rid, maybe Tosfos Rid means something else. He means the coin's head is only covering part of the board. And since the coin's head is only covering part of the bore, therefore maybe he's not covering the part of the bore which is adjacent to the chor. And maybe that's a suffix tumor, which is a rabim. because the Tuma is found, well, the Tuma is in Rosh Hashayachid. Yeah, this is all Rosh Hashayachid according to Rashi. I don't know if that's going to help. Once you say strap, you don't need Rashi's answer.
So, in terms of turning it into a room.
What?
In terms of turning it into a room.
They cover the whole board, but turn it into a room. He's only covering part of the board. No, but that's not true, because it's definitely Mochruch in the Poskim. I think it's Mochruch in the Mishnais also, that it combines even one fully walled in room with one, you know, open patio, open mirpeset, pergola kind of area. So I'm not convinced of that. Okay, what's probably Pshat and Rashi? Probably Pshat and Rashi is what the Marshal says. What is the Marshal? Rashi Lafi Marshal. Right? I'm sure this is Pshat and Rashi. I mean, how can you be sure? He says exactly what Yaakov says. He says, look, there's a lot of confusion here. But what's going on here? Right? Here is, this is a Tefach space, but this is Pachos Mi Tefach. Therefore, the bor is as the chor is as if it's not open to the bor, but the chor itself is the tefach and blocks the toma. And what happens to the toma? The nefel? It obviously goes all around here and makes a little, you know, but it can't go anywhere. It can't go up because it's blocked by an ohel tefach. It can't go sideways because the opening's not a tefach long. And therefore, it's not matami anyone. That's what the Marshal says. And I think that, but before I look to the Marshal, Chatzayin Mazgra Yom, I don't read all the Marshals. I thought it was Pasha, this is Pshat Rashi. Ah, if it's Pasha, this is Pshat Rashi, remember, not only Marshal, even me, even I thought it was Pasha, Pshat Rashi. Tosa is at least as smart as Marshal, and for sure Tosa is at least as smart as me. So why didn't Tosos understand Pshat Rashi? It's just not Poseach Tefach. It's Tefach inside, it's not Poseach Tefach. Why did Tosos disagree, right? So what does the Marshal explain? I also thought this before, so Marshal. Exactly so. And the truth is, you don't need Marshal. It's clear from the Tosos made in Paris that this is why Tosos disagreed. You know, almost all the good Marshals are clear from one of the verses of Tosos, if you look through. The old Pshat Marshals, you don't need any of the Pshat Marshals nowadays. If most Masechtas, you have like four versions of Tosos, because if you just look through them all, you're bound to get Pshat and Tosos. Because, yeah, one version was unclear, one phrase, but one of the Osmoldic versions was unclear in that phrase. Okay. That's why nowadays it's not as important to learn Marshals as it once was, because if you have all the versions of Tosos, you can get Pshat and the Tosos from the primary source instead of from the speculation of the Marshal, even though the Marshal speculation is, you know, very, very good speculation. They didn't make the Marshal for nothing. Okay, but, so what is Tosos going to say back? So obviously, what's Tosos going to say back? Right? So that's Rashi's Poseach Tefach. Why did Tosos reject it? Right? So, but Rashi would say that this is mafsek the Torah, and Tosos would say no. Tosos would say this is called kever sasum. What's the rule of kever sasum? Kever sasum is more chomer than tomer ritzutza. Kever sasum is not only kever sasum means a kever that has no opening, and again, an opening less than a tefach counts as no opening. That's awesome, right? What does Tosos say would happen? Tosos says in this very same case. What would happen to Tosos? Here's your nefel. The Toma would go all around here, and then it would go up from the entire chor. He said, Kever Sosom is if it's all full of Toma, but it doesn't block the Toma. And Kever Sosom is even worse than Toma Ritzutza. And that's why Tosos would go and give Rashi's answer. What if the coin's on the other side of the board? But he might be over this, we're assuming it's Rosh Hashayachid, except for the first answer. So it's Rosh Hashayachid, he might be over the board. So that's right, because you can't give Rashi's answer and think it's Rosh Hashayachid. I mean, you have to say Rosh Hashayachid. You can't give Rashi's answer, which would mean sticking with Rosh Hashayachid. Right? What does Rashi say? I'm sticking with Rosh Hashayachid. I'm giving my answer. No, you can't stick with Rosh Hashayachid and give your answer because you might be over the chor. Rather, you have to go with Rashi's assuming that all these other answers are assuming it's the Rosh Hashayachid. right? That's why they're not giving Tosfos an answer. Rashi says, Shayachid, but it's okay because the Tum is locked. Tosfos saying, no. If it was Shayachid, the Tum wouldn't be locked. And then it would be Suffolk, you're above the Chor. Think about it. Okay, that is the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. The question
So is that why Tosfos is the only one who adds the Goruruhu Vachluhu? And the other Rishonim don't even look at, they try to answer it only regards to the Tum itself.
What other Rishonim? Rashi and some other Rishonim, yeah. And this is Tosfos, again, it's Alpidim Arshaw, but it's Mocher from Tosfos in Paris. The question is, how do we defend Rashi against the accusation of Kibber Sassum? How do we defend Rashi against the accusation of Kibber Sassum? So, how do we know there's such a thing as Kibber Sassum? So, the one of the main Makoros is the Mishnah in Olos. The Mishnah in Olos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph, says, here it gives you sort of the yesod of the difference between Tumah Ritzusa and Kever Sosum. It says, right, Nefesh Atuma, a Nefesh is a burial tomb, which is Atuma, which is full, which has no empty space. Hanugem and it's not in Torah. If you touch the sides, you're Torah. Why? Because it's Tumah Ritzutza. Nisha Tumah Bukasa, all Bukasa you're right. It's Tumah Ritzutza. If there's no space, it only goes up and down. It doesn't go sideways. Why does it go sideways? Because there's no oil over it. It's less than a tefach. How would it go sideways? But, Hayamakam Tumah Tefach al Tefach, al Rum Tefach, it was a cubic tefach. Hanogea Begamakam Tumah on all the sides of Tumah. Nisha Kikever Sosum. It's like a Kever Sosum. This is the rule that Kever Sosum is the Tumah on all sides. Kever Sosum, unlike a real Ohel keeps the Tumah inside. If there's a mace in the house and I touch the outside of the house and I walk on the roof of the house and everything is no problem. But, because that's not a Kever Sosum. But if it's a Kever Sosum, there's a mace in the hospital, I can touch the wall of the hospital and I can walk on the roof of the hospital. But a Kever Sosum is the Tumah on all the sides. It's the Tumah on all the sides. If a Kever Sosum is the Tumah on all the sides, how do we defend Rashi against Tosfos? So the best of my knowledge, I think there's only two ways to defend Rashi against Tosfos. How do you defend Rashi against Tosfos? How do we defend Rashi against Tosfos? After all, Tosfos points out, it's a Kever Sosum. Rashi says an opening of the Tefach. I mean, you might have shown. You could take the Tosfos read and know the opening of the Tefach. But let's assume Marshall is right. No, it's a Tefach inside, but the opening is less than Tefach. Oh, it's a Kever Sosum. How do you defend Rashi? Aha! A Kever Sosum, the Mishnah in Olo, says Bitame Kosviva, whatever the Lashon was, right? Hanogeaba says Hanogeaba. Hanogeaba Bikobakum Tame. A Kever Sosum is Bitame all the sides Bimaka. Who says a Kever Sosum is Bitame Ba'ohel, right? So maybe one defense of Rashi is that a Kever Sosum is Bitame Bimaka. But not the Ohel. Maybe the Tamei Bemaga, not the Ohel. It could be. Why do we not pass that way? Why do most Rishonim, including Tosos, consistently all over Shas Tosos is the exact same thing, not hold that way? As a matter of fact, we could even bring a riot to Rashi. Brachos, your testament days. We would leap over the Aronos, the coffins of dead bodies, to go see the king. Because even though they made because coffins have a Pesach Tefach, they made a Gzeirah Drabbanan. Gzeirah maybe won't have a Pesach Tefach, and that Gzeirah Drabbanan, they were matur to see kings. Let's forget about the Drabbanan. Mida Oraisa, the Kohanim, they could leap over and on these Aronos because they have Pesach Tefach. So that shows that, and they didn't touch it. They just leapt over it. Even if they put their foot on it, they were in shoes, right? They didn't touch it. So that shows that it's not Matami Ba'ohel. However, that seems to be against a Gemara in Nazir, because the Gemara says in Nazir, Daf, on Nun Gimel, what's the main reason everyone doesn't agree with Yaakov? Because the Gemara says in Nazir, Daf, Nun Gimel, that, Nun Gimel Abbas, Nun Dalad Amid Aleph, the Cholashi, Al-Pnei HaSadeh is referring to an ohel of the mace. Kachalo is Eid Menachai, Yishlal Saruka, Cherver is a Kachalo, Obe Mesa, Ivar Nesbo Menemes, Obe Etzman, Dunder Rovat Samos, all the things that are Matami Ba'Obel. Obe Kever is a Kever Sossum. Kever Sossum is Matami Ba'Obel. The Amar Mar, Toma Bokas, all of Kasi Aranis. Toma goes up all the way, breaks through up and breaks through down. Bokas a little breakthrough. So it's before you say that Kever Sossum is Matami Ba'Obel. And if you don't believe me, this is all a Toma Ba'Obel. A, it says Bokas, all of Kasi Aranis. That's the question that means it goes all the way up. And also, there's all that Obel, because the next line says, Ilu gabi negia, but by negia, there's a different set of rules. By my God, etc. Clearly, tell number two men. Oh well. So it's before the kever sasum is mitami ba'okel in nazir dachman gimel. So what does Tosos and most Rishonim say? All over Shas, pasha kever sasum is mitami ba'okel. What were the alronos that they stepped on in brachos New Testament days? They had openings on the side. Why are they opening the side? I don't know. Why are there runas lying in the street? I mean, must have been some practice that we're not familiar with. Those are runas had openings on the side. That's what Tosa says all over. Even right here in Nazar, I think up to the Makora sheet, that Tosa said something along these lines, right? Didn't I put something about the Tosa's and Nazar on the Makora sheet? Yeah. Dibra Maskel, it's really the middle of Dibra Maskel. He says this, of course, there's a Mosech Tefach. That's why it's called the Keber Sosom. And don't bring me brachas New Testament days where it blocks the Tumah, because those ones had opening. So, however, there's two Rishonim who say it a little differently. They have something in common. Who make an Okimta in the Gemara Nazir? Says, perhaps Rashi in Nazir. It's always hard to tell because there's a big machlokus among the scholars whether Rashi and Nazir is really Rashi or not. But, you know, even if it's not really Rashi, it's certainly someone very close to Rashi. Says Rashi and Nazir. Zekever sasum she'ein bo cholol tefach. That there's no cholol tefach. And the Raven also in wherever I gave you, Thomas Mace. Per kafe halacha base says the Ravid, that's where there's not a tefach space above the mace. That's a kever sasum, there's not a tefach space above the mace. So, this is not the sheet, this is against Rov Rishonim. But basically, what are the Ravid and Rashi? The kever sasum over there is not the same as kever sasum discussed elsewhere, there's posef tefach. Right? It's not the same as the kever sasum and olos. The kever sasum and olos, well, actually, may or may not be certainly for us, right? This is a that's to that Kever Sosom in Nazir is talking about Tumah Ritzutza, really. The truth is that there's a subtle difference. Rashi sounds like, we're not sure what Rashi sounds like. Says the Ravid, he says actually there's three kinds of Tumah Ritzutza, means there's not a Tefach. A Kever Sosom that is Matami all the way up is where there's a tefach, but the mace is occupying the tefach. And where there's actually a tefach space above the mace, that blocks the tumah. Okay, but what are we saying? A kever sosum is betami b'maga, but not the ohel. That's the sheet of the ravid, right? A baloba ohel in yesh bo cholol tefach al gabi hamace. Right? If there's a tefach space above the mace, yes, it's matami kol svivav, but it's not matami ba'ohel. This is the shita of shitas haravid and Rashi and Nazir. Those are the only two Rishonim I can find. All the other Rishonim disagree. They say kever sasum is matami ba'ohel. Why? Because the Gemara and Nazir says kever sasum is matami ba'ohel. Only Rashi and in Nazir, the Ravid say that's not talking about a regular kever sasum, right? What do they say? Gemara in Nazir, Mayri be'ein cholol tefach al gabi hamis. Okay, this is a minority sheet of the Ravid and Rashi and Nazir against the other Rishonim. Okay, so according to this minority sheet of the Ravid and Rashi and Nazir against the other Rishonim, Kever Sasum, the Tumah doesn't go up. It only goes to the sides. It only goes back. I mean, if you touch the roof, but if you're not touching it, you're just above it, right? Let's say you're wearing shoes, you're not even touching the ground, anything, right? Some of you wear shoes, not a creature kenta, you're not touching anything, then it's not a time to go, oh, well, that's one way to defend Rashi. Maybe Rashi is Lushitase and Nazir, right? Maybe Rashi is Lushitase and Nazir. Again, it's a little tricky. Some people say they call them Yuchas the Rashi and Nazir. No one really knows. Read through all the historians, no one really knows. It's all speculations. But maybe Rashi is Lushitase and Nazir, then it covers Sosom, that has a Mosef Tefach, is not Metame. Now, Kemer Sosman is Mosef Tefach, is not Metame. Oh, hell, it's only Metame B'maga. Okay.
Rabbi, could this be two ways of reading the Mishnah law you gave us?
What do you mean?
Now, the first case is where it's less than a Tefach, and it says that the Tumaz Bukaba Ola, but if you touch the side of the Torah, and then in the Sefer where it is Potech Tefach, Hanugaba Mikomakom Tamei. So is that adding also, is that only in addition to the Tumabu Kabe Ola of the Risha?
Exactly. Right. Two ways of reading it. It Motos read it as it's Milgabi Mikomakom and Bokasva Ola, like in the Risha. Rashi and the right would say, no. It's not Bokasva Ola. Instead, Nogaba Mikomakom Tamei. Very good. Okay, that's one way of defending Rashi. However, there may be a simpler way of defending Rashi. What's the simpler way of defending Rashi? Well, the Tosfot in Peretz here says to defend Rashi. The Tosfot in Peretz here says to the Tosfot in Peretz here says to defend Rashi. The Marshal does not really go into defending Rashi. He just says Rashi and then leaves it to the reader's imagination. But the Tosfot in Peretz here, when he quotes Rashi, he says, etc. The Yesh Lomar, what about Kever Sosom? Hani mi l'kshav somo so b'socha chor l'shem kever v'lachot lo somo so l'shem kever ni nidu k'ol amez k'mo kever k'en nira l'Rabbeinu Peretz. Says Rabbeinu Peretz to defend Rashi. You could say Rashi, you should not say Nazir. Or you could say, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz to defend Rashi. No, a kever sosom is only if it's a kever. Why say kever sosom? Why not ohel sosom? You could say lav dafka, every ohel sosom. You could say a place you put a mace, it's called a kever. But no, he's the guy gets kever sosom. Only if you had kavana to be kover in there, it's a kever sosom. If not, then it's not a kever sosom. Okay, this, by the way, is that it can have a lot of nafkamidas in halacha lemaisa. Problem is, we know that Tosfos doesn't go this way. Otherwise, he would agree with Rashi, right? What if you have some place where there was some, you know, accident, some avalanche, etc. There are mason or deep under the ground, you know, there's a mosef tefach there, but no one intended to bury them there, right? You get these cases of weird accidents, etc. According to Tosfos in Peretz, no, the Toma doesn't go up. That's not a kever sosom. That's an ohel. An ohel is mafsik Toma. A kever is only a makom kvura. And obviously when the animal drags it, that's not called makom kvura. I didn't put him there. The animal put him there. The animal does not cross kvura. So therefore he says, it's not a kever sosom because it's not l'shem kvura. Okay. That says it's not a kever sosom because it's not l'shem kvura. And therefore there's no problem. Basically, what do we see here? What we see here, according to the what we see here, according to the parents, is here we have an interesting hakira in kever sosom. What's the hakira about kever sosom? The hakira of kever sosom. This is classic hakira. You should only get to figure this on your own methodologically. There's a tuma called kever. There are other nafkaminas to kever besides what we said here. Right? And the Torah says the word kever, right? O be'etzem adam o bekever. So what does the Torah mean when it says kever? Does it mean that it's teaching you, and a kever sosom, o bekever is kever sosom, does it mean that a kever sosom doesn't block the Tumas Mace? Right? Even though it's a posef tefach, it doesn't block the Tumas Mace. Or does it mean, no, that's what it says, right? Megevo, menetzadim tov. Or does it mean, not that it doesn't block the Tumas Mace, it does block the Tumas Mace. But a kever is matame, even though it's not a mace. A kever is a new kind of matame. After all, how do we know there are things that are affiliated with a mace that are matame? Anyone give me an example of two things that are near a mace that are matame in and of themselves?
Sword.
Okay, but even closer, Golo and Dofik, right? What's Golo and Dofik? Chazal Darsha, Hosea Sadra was Golo and Dofik, which have very funny halachas, and we're not sure what they are. Golel depends exactly who you ask. Maybe Golel is the cover of the mace of the grave, and the Dofik is what holds it up. Or perhaps more likely, in the old days, when they used to bury in caves, Golel is the big stone that you roll in to block the entrance to the cave. Why does it roll out? Dofek is, if you ever tried to block the entrance to the cave with a big round stone, what you do is you wedge in a little stone on the bottom so that it can't roll out. That's the Dofek. But whatever, Golel and Dofek are independent metami. Golel and Dofek are metami. So what do we see? There are some things that they don't transmit the tumor from the mace. They are their own metami. And yesh lachor in Tomas Kever Sosom. Right? I'm not going to say Tomer Ritzutza. Tomer Ritzutza, I don't think there's any Malkum Lachkor. Tomer Ritzutza means there's not a Pesach Tefach. It's squished in. It goes up. It goes down. That's just regular Tomas Ohel. It just means the Tomer Ritzutza doesn't block it. Why doesn't it block it? Because it's not an Ohel. Because it doesn't have an opening with Tefach. Whatever's not an Ohel can't block. That, I don't think there's any Malkum Lachkor. But Kever Sosom logically should block it. Right? The mace is in a place that's an OL wide and it's blocked off. The Tomah should stay inside. It shouldn't go outside. Just like a mace in a house, the Tomah doesn't go outside. But in Kever Sosom, the Tomah goes outside. Why? Is it the Tomah's Mechadish? It doesn't block the Tomah? Or it does block the Tomah. But since it's a Kever, the Kever is Metami. Right? Yesh Lachkor. Is it that it just doesn't block the Tomah of the Heftza Shel Mace, right? Meaning, what happens? Tomer Ritzutza doesn't block the Tomah because it's not an Ohel, so it goes up and down. A regular house does block the Tomah, which is not Sosom, which is not sealed, does block the Tomah. A Kever Sosom, which has a Tefach inside but is blocked, the Chiddush of the Tomah is, since it's blocked, it doesn't block the Tomah. Since it's Kever Sosom, it doesn't block the Tomah, and therefore, the Tomah spreads through the Ohel. And now that it's not blocked, it goes up. Sorry, Tumah spreads through here. And now that it doesn't block, it goes up through the whole thing. Meaning, Kever Sosom, Borcham, and Tumah Ritzutza, even where the mace isn't, it's Metami. Why? Because that's generally true. This is the same as any oil that doesn't block. There are other oil that doesn't block. What's another example of oil that doesn't block? For example, some of us have the Chazar Olos. How about an oil that's Mekabel Tumah itself? How about if I take a kli? I take a kli that's Mekabel Tumah, a desk, and I put this desk above a little Tumah, Xayis of Tumah. What's the rule? Since the desk is Mekabel Tumah, well, maybe it's true to kliates. A metal desk, right? What's metal? You don't have anything metal? What? No, something really big metal. A metal desk. I put a metal desk, right? Even this desk, we draw above it, but a metal desk above a Xayis of Tumah. What happens? The Xayas Ben Amace fills the hole under the metal desk. It's an Ohel. And then it's Matami above the whole metal desk. Not just above the Xayas Ben Amace, above the whole metal desk. Why? Because it's an Ohel, but it's not a Chotzeitz. An Ohel that's not a Chotzeitz is the worst, because it spreads the Tumah underneath it, and then the Tumah goes above it all over. This exactly, it's an Ohel, Shein no Chotzeitz. Okay. That's one way of understanding. Or you say, no. The Tumah of the mace is blocked, but a kever is metami. A kever is metami. That's a hakira you can ask in Tomas Kever. One nafkamina might be this Tosfos in Paris. If you say it just doesn't block the Tumah, it's not mochrach. I mean, tell me it's not mochrach. But, okay, after you can say, I'll give you something that is mochrach in a moment. Okay, this is a very difficult raifet. I didn't want to get into it. If you look, there's a very long Reb Chaim in the seventh paragraph of Thomas Mace, who deals with the relationship between the raifet I'm about to quote you and the raifet that was on the Makor sheet. But there's a raifet in Perek Yud Beis of Thomas Mace, right? Hold on to your hats. Who says? You ready? he says, why are the Kohanim allowed to jump over those aronos? Jump over those coffins and brachas daf yotes. He says, no problem. Ain a kohen was harin ella tuma shenozim galechel. A kohen is only usher and tuma that would make a nazar brunis nazirus, a real mace. Kamel and sheainim alechel gufo shel mace v'lo al kever v'lo gol of l'dofek. Ah, a kohen's only muzer on a mace, not on a gol of l'dofek or a kever. He clearly says it's not that kever left the tuma's mace through. He says if there's no poseach tefach, in this case, of course they're going to poser. The tuma's mace going through. But in the kever, the tuma's mace doesn't go through. There's a tuma's kever. And a coin's not Muzer and Tumas Kever, that would be the most obvious nafgamina, right? What about a coin? He's for sure Muzer, which is the opinion of all the Rishonim. Again, there's a big machlok zachronim, whether there's a steer in the right, whether there's not. Okay, you can look at that Rav Chaim if you have a lot of time. But says the Ravid in Yud Beis Beis of Tumas Beis, says
no, ain't no Muzer. Maybe the Rambam holds the same thing by Tumat Halal, that it's Tumat Shiva and the coin isn't Muzer Halal. So maybe he holds the same thing here.
Yeah, correct. Like Chereva Halal, right, exactly. So you could, you don't have to say, but you could say, like the Ravid in Yud Beis Beis, that a coin is not Muzer. Clearly, the Ravid holds that the new heft of Kever has nothing to do with the mace, as he says. Only a goofishal mace, not on Golol, Dofik, and Kever. He says, the coin's muzzer and Torah Tzutza. That's the goofishal mace. It's 6 feet under. Yeah, but nothing blocks it. It's not muzzer and mace. That's not a goofishal mace. No. The mace is black. That's a goofishal Kever. That's a heftishal Kever. Another nafkamina might be this remain appearance, right? What about Shalom L'shem Kvura? Then we would say, Mistaber, Rabbein Peretz. Ain't no Matami. If it's a Cheftishal Kever, maybe it's only Cheftishal Kever. It's not Mochav, it's a Stab, it's only Cheftishal Kever. If you're a covert someone there, not a mace just happened to be there. Surely, like Golo Dofek can happen by accident. Kever can happen by accident. It has to be a Kever. But if say it just doesn't block, then it's Mistaber to say, why doesn't it block? Not because you intend your intention. It doesn't block the Tumah because any place that is Sosum doesn't block Tumah. Right? So Mistaber, Kit, Shari Shonim. How do I know Shari Shonim don't say this? Because then they would have given Rashi's answer. They're all clever enough to think that Tosu can appear to the Marshal if they want. Right? I don't think any Shonim are not clever enough to go on with this, but some of them disagree. That it is Mitame. That could be another Nafkamina. And another very obvious nafkamina, I think, could be the other Ravid. And what if the Rashi and Nazir that has become Bemaga and not Ba'ohel. After all, we know Golol and Dofek, for example, is Metame Bemaga Uba Ohel and not Bemasa. I think it's the only thing in the world like that, if I'm not mistaken. So maybe Kever is Metame Bemaga and not Ba'ohel, right? So it doesn't make sense if it doesn't block the Toma, then if it doesn't block the Toma, it should also be time for Obel. Right? Whoever heard of not blocking the Toma, Minastam is, how about Mahil Al Kever Sosum? If you say it doesn't block the Toma, then I think it's pretty posh, you should say, like most Rishonim, you should say that it's Matame Ba'ohel. But if you say it's a new Cheftishal Kever, then who knows? A new Cheftishal Kever, maybe it's Matame Ba'ohel, maybe it isn't. Not sure. You might say it's Matame Ba'ohel, like Pshat of the Gemara Nozir. It's a new Cheftishal Kever, and the Gemara Darsh is Matame Ba'ohel. Or maybe you would say, it's a bit of a stretch. No, it's a new Cheftishal Ohel, but that new Cheftishal Ohel is only Matame Ba'ohel, and not Ba'ohel, even though that's not what you're reading the Gemara Nozir. But maybe you could say like Rashi Nazir and the Ravid in Perek Zion and Perek Kafei. I think I might have, I don't know which I put on the cover sheets, but it's in Perek Zion and Perek Kafei. That who says that no. It's Nogeya Bo is Tame, but Mahil Olav is Tahar. Why is the Mahal of Tahar? Because it blocks the Tumah space. It's just a new Cheftishal Tumah. That new Cheftishal Tumah might be the right of the Shitase. Again, there's a big deal in the Achronim. These two rivets are certainly similar conceptually. Are they meant to work together? Are they meant to be alternative suggestions? Not clear. That's the question. How did that Sugis work? Are Sugis ideas he had or worked out sheets? Rav Chaim thinks they're meant to work together. Rav Chaim thinks they're meant to work together, but he means that it's not the time of the Oel, even the Maga is not the time of Kohanim. Okay, that if the new Chesed Tumah could be, you don't have to say, but you could say, okay, so this is a big hakira about the nature of this this tumah of kever soso, which is funny, right? A kever that's open is just an oil that blocks the tumah. Oil spreads from underneath it and blocks it from above it. A tumah ritzutza is just as if there's nothing there; it just goes up and down. It's like open space. Kever soso is metamikol svivav, and it sounds in nuzer. Like it's Batami Ba'ohel, anyone is Mahil on it, it's also Bekev Ba'olam, but we call from the whole thing. That's the standard. But is that Kever Sosom? There's clearly a din of Kever Sosom, which breaks the rule of an Ohel blocking, right? Because normally any Ohel that's not Makabal Toma should block Toma. So either it just breaks the rule of blocking and lets Toma through, or it's a new Hefta. Again, we said 3.5 minas, maybe find more. Number one, if it lets the Toma through, a coin should be Moser. If the new Hefta, maybe a coin's not Moser on it before driving the base. Number two, what if you put it without Kavanah's Kfurin? If it doesn't block the Tumah, then Lechor, it doesn't matter your Kavanah. It's just this structure doesn't block Tumah. If you say, however, there's a new Hefza, then it's not really a new Hefza. It should only be if you call it a Kever, if you relate to it as a Kever. And the original thing we discussed, which is, how is it Natami Ba'ohel or only Ba'maka? If it doesn't block the Tumah, then it should have to be Natami Ba'ohel. You know, it's going to have to be very fancy state. It doesn't block the Tumah for Maga, but it does Ba'ohel like we... That's not something we're used to finding. Right? But if you say it's a new Hefta, you could say it's also Matami Ba'ohel. Like a Golo and a Dofek. But you could also say this new Hefta Shel Tumah is not Matami Ba'ohel. And you could say, like the minority Shita of the Raven and Rashi and Nazir, that, okay, you have to figure out where they put the Psukim. Because if they say that's not what's going on in Nazir, then where's it in the Psukim? Okay, let's assume they'll work it out someplace. They'll find a double remnant in the Psukim. And maybe it's only Matami Ba'ohel. Okay, that, yeah. The entire area goes up because the rule is any oil that doesn't block Toma first brings the Toma oil underneath it and then doesn't block it and lets it go up. Right? That's the metal desk. A metal desk on top of a tiny Zayas Mace first brings the Toma under the whole desk and then brings it above the whole desk. That's Mefurish in many Mishnayos and Olos. Many Mishnayos and Olos. Okay. Yes?
Could the ground around the Mechila become a Kever?
Ground around the Nephil become a Kever? Meaning, if it's a Kever Sosa, would all the dirt over here be part of the Kever? You're asking?
Yeah.
I think possibly it would. But that doesn't necessarily bother us because if it's only the top of Maga that coins wearing shoes, so he's not no gale.
If you say it's about a Kever, then maybe there is no Kever here. If ground can't become a Kever.
You're saying ground can't become a Kever, that's true, but all the Rishonim assume ground can become a Kever, because all the Rishonim ask the following question. What they ask is, if most coffins have a Posef Tefach, it says in Brachos, then why are cemeteries always the example where a coin can't go in Shas? Why can't a Kohen go to the cemetery? There's always a tefach that blocks the tumah. So the answer is no, because it's a kever sasum. So unless you say that's an aron, not karka olam, it's an interesting question. Maybe Shmuel would say maybe karka olam can't be a kever sasum, which again would work with a hefter shel kever. That's what Shmuel meant.
Okay, I'm wondering what's the boundary also.
What?
All the grounds are attached to each other. What's the boundary of the kever?
Right, what's the boundary? You might say the boundary is... That's a good question. Okay, I have to leave up Tzarki, and you're right. Okay, let me just briefly, before we move on, Rabosai. Before we move on, Rabosai, let me briefly mention a few other answers in the Rishonim to the original question. Question is, if the coins are Rishayachid, he might be standing on top of Tomer Ritzutza / Kever Sasso. So one answer is that Kever Sosom is not a problem. The other answer is that he's a Mishnah Saraba. The other answer is that you rely on the robe that they ate it. There are a few other answers, some of which are more fanciful. I'll just mention two other answers. Four is Alpi the Ravid in Perek Yud Beis. It's not a problem because you just, I guess that goes together with Rashi. Maybe you go together with Rashi here. Just say a Kohen thought Muzer and Kever Sussum. You know, maybe a better way to say it is you can have this be a third way to defend Rashi, right? Three. Arrive at Perek Yud Beis. Boy, I'm mixing mine. Let's call this A. We'll call this B. And we'll call this C. Right? And we'll call this Aleph. And we'll call this Bet. Okay. You see what happens in answer number three. Rashi says the Noseach Tefach, that divides into either Aleph, big condition of Tosfos Rid, or Bet. They stomp Shal and Marshal. Within the Marshal, how do you answer Tosfos Kasha? Either A, Rashi Nazar and the Ravid in Per Kafei and Per Zayin, B, the Tosfos Rid and Peretz, or they B, maybe a coin is just not Musar, it's Matame, but a coin's not Musar on a Kever Sosum. Maybe a coin's just not no, hold on, how did that help? That's not going to help here. Tosfos' question isn't as to whether he's Musar, right? Tosfos' question is to forget that. That would help answer that wasn't Tosfos' the question. Where's, okay, forget this. Fine. There are questions whether he's coming or not, not whether he's Musar. Okay, fine. Anyway, the last news I just wanted to point out, number four here, is the Maram Chalava. The Maram Chalava is also sticking with Rosh Hashanah, and he just makes a weirdo kenta. Says the Maram Chalava. He says, you know what the Okimta is? You know what the whore looks like. A little weird. I know what the whore looks like? No. You've done experiments. You know what the whore of this barbulus looks like. And you know that a stam barbulus brings the flesh, brings the food all the way to the end of his whore. You know either the end of his whore is way past where you are and where you didn't walk, way too far out or too far in. Too far in is a little unclear, meaning... Lachura, how do you know you weren't Mahil on it? Okay, but that's what he says. He says, just makes no kimta. The okimta is that Yodua, the sof, hachor, eino, keneged, raglov. Okay, you happen to know that this chor, you know exactly the geography of this chor. I think it's a dochuk okimta. How do you know? Anyone have a, I don't have a barbless in my house, but if I did, I would know where Tor went exactly. But I sent in like a drone or something. It's a little weird, but somehow you know for some reason. Okay, it could be. You know the end of this Tor is someplace you didn't walk over. Okay, if you make that Okemta, then you're fine, but it's a Dach Okemta. Okay, fine. Now I want to turn my back to you, and now I want to get to the meat of the Sukkah. Hold on. My phone is misbehaving. And what is the meat of the sugya? Remember, we've dealt with all the side points until now. We haven't dealt with the actual topic of our sugya, which is Ein Safek Motzei Deivadai, right? Which is Ein Safek Motzei Deivadai. Okay. I found that with technology, if anyone needs a tip on technology now that you've learned architecture from me, if you just keep pressing a lot of buttons, usually problems go away. Worst comes to worst, restart. But first try pressing a lot of random buttons. It always works for me. Okay. So, Ein Safek Motzei Min Deivadai. The question is, what does the rule of Ein Safek Motzei Min Deivadai mean? Fundamental to that question is, what do we mean by the word? Safek. What kind of suffix is not Motzei Min Deivadai according to Rava and Arasugya, who has a lot of kashas asked on him, but defends himself against all the kashas, and it seems clear that we accept the halacha that ain't suffix Motzei Min Deivadai. What kind of suffix are we dealing with? What are the perhaps two opinions? And then tell me why I said the word perhaps. What kind of suffix are we talking about when we say ain't suffix Motzei Min Deivadai? Ein Safek Motzei Min Deivadai. Does it mean regular? Again, regular is the opposite of regular. I apologize. Does it mean a regular 50-50 Safek? Or does it mean what the Rishonim called Safek HaRagel, meaning a likely Safek, meaning what we call a roof? Okay, who says it means a Safek HaRagel, a likely Safek? Tosos, Rabbi David, and who else did I put here? In brackets, I put the Chiddush Aran and the Maram Chalava. And Rashi. Where does Rashi? Rashi doesn't take on the sugya, but in one place, Rashi happens to mention, right? Rov. Right? Rashi actually used the word Rov, where? By the Chavar, right? He said, V'asi suffix zeh motzi persol midivadei tevel mishum de rov chaveirim maisrim hei miyad. Because rov, what does it mean suffix? Suffix means rov. Rov and then maisrim miyad. And then Rav Chanina Chozah says it's not a rov, it's a vadai. Okay, so basically all the Rishonim say what kind of suffix, according to Rashi and Tosfos. And Tosfos is so sure. Remember, what does Tosfos say in Amud Aleph? He says, how can we say by Medurah Sa'akah maybe the animal ate it? Sfeik Sfeik Rosh Yachid Mudr is a Rosh Yachid, someone's tent. Sfeik Sfeik Rosh Yachid is Lachumra. So first he answers that it's not a real Sfeik Sfeik because there's no strong basis, which we'll come back to. And then he says, hold on a second. This is not a Sufik, this is a Rove. And then he says, how do I know it's a Rove? How do I know it's a Rove? Because they discuss whether it's Mosim Devadai. Obviously, you wouldn't discuss whether a Sufik HaShakal is Mosim Devadai. Obviously, it means a Rove. I mean, Tosfos, in Medurah Sa'akum, he goes back and forth. But once he points out that there's a sugya in Sufik HaShakal here, he says, obviously, we have to be talking about a Rove, Sufik HaShakal. There's no chance we're talking about a regular Sufik. I think that it may or may not be significant, and I'll tell you why. It may or may not be significant, because on the one you say, why don't they say the word rove? Rashi does. None of the other Rishonim do. Why do they say suffix regular and not rove? Obviously, they're talking about something else, which we'll get to. But that might not be significant. Why? Because the Rishonim are trying to bridge a gap. It's a rove, but the Gemara calls it a suffix. So therefore, I figure out a phrase with suffix that turns it into a rove. Whenever I'm trying to bridge a gap, it doesn't prove anything, right? If I mean a rove and I have no pre-existing text to work with, I should say rove. And if not, that's suspicious. But if I mean a rove and the Gemara says suffix, I say, I'm the suffix of Rogel. That's because I don't want to say rove because I want to be in the Gemara. So I figure out a way to touch the Gemara to make it into a rove. So it doesn't mean it's not a rove. It just means I'm trying to touch the Gemara. So that's, I think, that the Kagodl did. Whenever I use a strange way of saying something, because I'm trying to fit in with the words of the text that I'm being mefarish, then it doesn't prove that I'm talking about a different concept. So it may or may not. Okay. All they say it means a suffix haragil, which at the very least, more or less, Yaakov, you'll admit more or less, right, equals a rove, and perhaps 100%. Who disagrees? Maybe the Balmor. Very good. Right? Who quotes the Balmor as disagreeing? Exactly. Rabbeinu David, b'shem Bal Hamor, says it means a suffix hashakl. Even 50-50 suffix. Whether a suffix hashakl is motzi devadai. Okay, according to this Balmor, what's the Havmin? Joe says, what's the Havmin of suffix hashakl is motzi devadai? Says, read it up. What's the Havmina? L'chora, what would this Balamor have to say? If we have a Havmina that a Sufik HaShakel is multiple Vadek or Mekel, we can only be talking about what kind of dinim? Right? And then you have to say, we are only talking about dinim Durabanan. And then it's an interesting question. Safek Darban Lukula, but is a Safek Darban Lukula even when it's going against a Vadai, like going against a Chazaka? Okay, yes, Lodun. But is that possible? Can the Balamor say we're only dealing with Dinim Darabanan? Well, what are the cases we're dealing with? Number one, we're dealing with, what's our original case? The Pikas Chameis. Would that be Darabanan? I mean, yeah, that's a Pashas, right? That's easy. It's a Chiddush to make it Doraisa. Pashas Darabanan, as the Gemara says, both. And Daf Yud and Daf Dalet, because Thomas Drabana. What's the next thing you bring in? Don't say Medurah Sa'akum, because that's not a suffering of Tzidrei Vadai. Right? What's the next suffering of Tzidrei Vadai? Two more. It's Tevel. Right? Could Tevel be Drabana? I mean, David says, I got you there, Tevel's not Drabana. Well, what do you think? A temple would be Rabbanan? Yeah, maybe it's not a Zen temple's Rabbanan. It's a whole machlokas of the temple's Rabbanan is not a Zen. But the Gemara in a few places says it's talking about Truma's not a Zen Rabbanan. Right? So then we could be talking about Truma's Rabbanan. Or you could say it's talking about species that are only Rabbanan, right? We're the most shown how many things are Chayim Truma's Maisus Doraisa? Only three. It's our grain. It's not three species, because grain includes chita and saora, and the other three. But dogam tirish v'yitzar, grain, wine, and oil. It's even machlokes we've shown whether grapes and olives are chayim for only wine and oil. Maybe it's talking about anything else. Okay, that you can get away with. And what's the third case here? The third case here is tumas mace. Ah, tumas mace. That's the doraisa. But Isman haseh. Charminen. Tumas mace is sure doraisa. Well, what could the Baal Mor say if he wanted to defend himself? Unlike some of the other Rishonim that we're talking about, what would be the equivalent of a Darabon that we're made from Malkum Safik? No. Rishus Rabbit. Ah, the truth is that the Rishonim all had good passions against Rishus Rabbit. Maybe he has an answer that I haven't thought of. You know what? If I stopped here, I could maybe fetch out the Baal Mor, even though I don't like it. Okay, the B'digos Hamitz, it's easy. The Tevel, I don't love the Charminen, because it sounds like even weak. Bar Kavit is not a Zeh. Not so crazy. Because remember, those who are Mekel Danazeh are Mekel Danazeh since the time of Golas Babel. So all of our prices were written, after Golas Babel. Tumas Mace, the Rishonim all had reasons why they didn't think it was just around it. And maybe the Rabbi Babel would have an answer. The problem is it can't be true. It can't be true. Why can't it be true? Because there are three sugyas of Ein Sof Yom Tov Vada in Shas. Now, you'll tell me that's not true. If you look at the source of Shas, it'll say Yevamos, once, twice, Avodah Zarah, Chulin, and there's more. Okay, he's never complete. Okay, here I'm telling you my opinion. You want to have a different opinion, you're welcome to. There are a few different places where the Shas use the phrase Ein Sof Yom Tov Vada. It seems to mean completely different things in completely different places. Like some of those Ein Sof Yom Tov, here is Ein Sof Yom Tov Vada, you had a Vada Yisr, and a Sufik Mater. Do you rely on that Sufik Mater? You mounted the Vada Yisr. There are some totally other cases. Like, for example, one guy's a Vada Yorish, one guy's a Sufik Yorish. Who gets the Yerusha? Or you bring two things with a knife. One is for sure causes damage to the knife. One, you're not sure if it causes damage to the knife. What damage to the knife? And those sugyas do not bring in the Shakavataria or Verbal Shaya, the Shivkasa Shalmetzik Barimon, etc. I think those sugyas are different. The Rishonim all give 100 reasons why those are different. I'm not going to bring those in. But there's three sugyas in Shas that are mamish our sugya. They start with Gay Satan, some go through the Vada, and then say, oh yeah, what about the Chavar Shemes when you have to go over the payrolls? Well, maybe did like Rosh Hashanah, or maybe Rechani Chuzah. Oh yeah, what about the Shivkasa Shalmetzik Echav Barimon? Well, maybe it was Kamine Philibor, or maybe it was Vada Garub on Shaita. Mamish carbon copies of our sugyas. They start instead of because how much is something else? That is the sugya needed in the sugya of Avodah Zarah. What's the sugya in Avodah Zarah about? It's from now. A Vadai idol that was made in his bata, right? If a guy disbelieves his idol and does something to show that he's Bavata, the Zarah becomes mutter. The other thing is Vadai worshipped. The Gemara says very clearly, suffix mutter. You have a tzura that might have been worshipped or might not. And now it's broken. So maybe the guy got mad at it and broke it and stop believing in it. So Sophonos, maybe it was worshipped. It's a Chatzar Lozari, and even if it was, maybe the guy was mevatel it. But what if you know something was worshipped? It's mamish, the statue you recognize from a temple, whatever, and now it's broken. So he probably broke it because he didn't believe in it anymore, but it's something once we divide, or he maybe. So they must say something else we divide, yes?
Why do they have to answer the Gemara Lozari? You're asking now, how could they learn about how we know that it would? Like
it's only the Rabbanans, how could they ever assume that it wouldn't look to their Vada? Right? But the Gemara Zohar, the key to the Zohar is it never will happen. I mean, that's the first. Yes, it did, because the Gemara asks, Ain't
Sofing
Motu Vada? After all, in the Chavar Shemes, Sofing Motu Vada, so to here it should be Motu Vada. It is a when the Gemara asks the question from Chavar Shemes, what they're saying is Sofing Shemotu Vada.
Okay. Even though the Zohar is the first case.
Yes, yeah. Because the theory is, so here's the problem. The problem is the Isser Hanoah of Avodah Zarah. Isser Hanoah, the Avodah Zarah, And what's the case in Nida? Case in Nida is if the time of the wife's period came, maybe she became a Nida, maybe not. Then maybe she told, maybe she didn't. We assume she's Tahora. But what if you know the woman was a Nida, and then you think she might have told? Ain Safik Nosik Devadai. That's also, that's clearly Doraisa, right? Nida. In this case, clearly, an Isser Doraisa, there's no room for saying that. There's no happening. How can anyone think a woman's a Nida? 50-50 she told she'd be in the terrace. Can't be. How do you think this is an idol, a known idol, that's worshipped? That's a Wadazara. 50-50 was it was in this battle of Mutter. Can't be. What's the real answer? The real answer is there is no such sheep in the Balamor. It's all a blood libel against the Balamor. The Balamor never said so. Right? Did you only think that because I said maybe, or because you looked it up and saw that he never said so? Okay, sick. Good enough. Okay. Really? Yeah?
What's your discussion about?
Akash and the Balamor, if the Safik is Shokol, why do they have a mean in Avodah Zarah that a 50-50 Safik is Matur on Avodah Zarah? Why do they have a mean that a 50-50 Safik is Matur on Zaniga? Can't be. It's impossible.
I thought Balamor was just saying that Safik is going to be so when it's Dorabana and Chicken Bar, when it's Arisa, you would ask him that it wouldn't be going to be that.
But then why is there what's the have a mean? There's a have a mean that Safik Dorisa is Fakula? You might say yes, but I don't think you have to, because the Balamor never said what Rabbeinu Dovah quoted him saying. He never said it. What's the only thing he said? This is what the Balamor said. He said, Rabbi Zeira and Daf Tesam and Aleph, when Rabbi Zeira says, Belechem Mishaira, he means Belechem Vadai Mishaira. That's all he said. All he said. I have to defend the covenant of the Balamor here. Not the covenant of the Balamor. No, just the intellect of the Balamor. Right? You're the Jewish people. You shouldn't think there could be a big rabbi from the Jewish people who said this. What did the Balamor actually say? The Balamor said this. He said that Lafi Rabbi Zeira Olda Vadai Mishayir Lechem. A Cholda for sure doesn't eat the bread. Meaning, might eat some, for sure leaves over bread. Why did he say that? To answer Akash on the next sugya. In the next sugya, what did we say? We said, well, if it's a, in the next sugya, we said, if the suffix, whether or not the mouse brought bread into the house, we're machmir. So ask Balamor, why are we machmir? Maybe he brought bread into the house, maybe he didn't. And maybe he ate it, maybe he didn't. Suffix, most of the suffix, say, seika. So he answers that next sugya is a leader of Zera that he thought they didn't eat it. So he has to say, what did Rabbi David add to the Balamor? Rabbi David D.H. Aval Im Haya Safik Hashakol Oz Reb Zera Haya Matir Bidav Kesav and Aleph. If it was Safik Hashakol, he would have been Matir. Which proves that a suffix a shakol is multimi devadai. But that's not a fair diok. He's not allowed to make that diok. Just because Rav Zera is a vadai, he doesn't say what would be if it was a suffix. Meaning the yeah?
Doesn't he think
that, and later the Pope will recognize the Tzara of Kiddush when the Tzara of Dini, and the Tzara of Kiddush, 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 and
the Tzara of Kiddush,
yeah, but that's not a case where it was mostly devadai. In the case of Teish Chanuyos, you never had vadai chametz in your house. Teish Tzibur. That's a different case. Basically, what the Balamor he's falsely accusing the Balamor. Balamor is this. Reb Zera holds, the Cholder for sure leaves over leftovers. Why? Because otherwise, in the next sugya, when there's no vadai chametz in your house, we'd be making me something. He never says, in Daf Tesam and Aleph, there's a vadai, we'd be making me something. It's not true. But the Diok Amiti, the real diuk is something else. Is that aval im haya safeg hashakol oz bidaf tes amid beis she'ein vadai ayamotar. Yeah, the Testament days where there's no Vadei Chametz, the Safek HaShukel will be enough to be made. No, that's the real deep of Balmor. That's what he says. I'm only saying this. He only says when he gets the Testament days. And the Testament days is the case where there were 10 piles. 9 of matzah, 1 of Chametz, and mouse took from one pile and went into your house. We never heard of Vadei. If there's no Vadei, then we can make one of Safek HaShukel. But he never said when there is a Vadei, you make one of Safek HaShukel. That's just a false accusation. Lamaisa, it's not true. Lamaisa. It's not true. It's a false accusation. Half Nerlani Stiti. Why David would falsely accuse the Balamor? I'm not sure. Did he really have some proof that I don't know of that the Balamor held this? Even though I read the Balamor 5 times and didn't see it? Was he biased against the Balamor? Is someone Balapet told him the Balamor held this? I have no idea. I don't think I have to answer that question. But pshat is there is no such sheet in our sugi that we're dealing with Safek HaShukel. The Balamor never said it. It's a wrong deal from the Balamor. Not make 2 diukim from a shita. You're only allowed to make 1 diuk from a shita. He says Rav Zera must be a vadai because in a suffix would be nikol and daf tes, because suffix would be mostly a suffix. There's nothing to do with our sugya. Suffix must be a vadai. For our sugya, it would be enough for Rav Zera to say he might leap over. But for the next sugya, Rav Zera has to say that he doesn't leap over. Okay. I don't think it's a good diuk. I think there's only 1 shita here. The 1 shita that we're dealing with the rove. And that brings up the following question, which Rav Chanan asks Zalatar. I apologize. Accidentally, somehow, in sending out the Makoros, 2 lines got erased, which were the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Pei and the Rav Chanan here in Os Lamed Vav. Rav Chanan asks the following question. He says, if we're dealing with Safik Motu Be Vadai, Vadai means Vadai Osir, Cheskes Esir. Safik means the robe that was Motur. That's the question of Ruba Vachazaka, Ruba Adif. There are sugyas of Ruba Vachazaka. Why is our sugya saying Safik Motu Be Vadai if there are other sugyas of Ruba Mechazaka, Ruba Adif? Why don't we bring in the sugya of Ruba Mechazaka, Ruba Adif? What is that sugya? That's a machlokes tanan whether Ruba Mechazaka, Ruba Adif or not. That's a machlokes tanan. Let's just at least introduce the question. Right? What do we see in, right? Rove versus Chazaka. On the one hand, now that we've proven all Rishonim agree, this is our sugya. There's a sugya called Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. And what happens to that sugya? Rava says that the Chazaka wins, right? The Rove is not Motzi from the Rove Hetzer, not Motzi from Cheskes Isser, and no one disagrees. Right? No one argues. The Gemara has Tashas, but no one argues. What happens in the sugya of Ruba v'chazaka? What's the case there? The case there is a tinok is next to a bowl of dough. The dough is tahar, and the tinok has a little bit of dough that he stole or was given to him. Rove the tinok. Rove tinok goes betachin. Tinok doesn't mean what we call baby. It's a kid. Rove kids touch everything. If you have kids, you'll understand that. Rove kids touch everything. So he was Batami the Isa. It's a Machlokes Rishonim whether we know he touched it, we're Masopik whether he touched the dead mouse beforehand, or we know he touched the dead mouse beforehand, we're Masopik whether he touched the Isa. But it doesn't matter. Rove, he was Batami the Isa, but the Isa was Becheskes Tara. So what do we do? Is it Toho or Tami? So here, Rabbi Meir the Tana, who's always Choshish Miyuta, right? He says we take the Miyuta into account, right? So he's Metzarif. Right? The, what is saying? Kiddushin. Daf, hey, I'm an Aleph. Kiddushin, daf, hey, I'm an Aleph. What does Rav Meir say? Rav Meir metaher. Why? Because Rov Tinoko's touch, but a Miyu don't. And it's Cheskes Tara. Smoke Miyutul Chazaka, it's really Ruba. Smoke. He doesn't say Tari. What does he say? Smoke Miyutul Chazaka, because he's Choshish for Miyut. He says, the Miyut plus the Chazaka beats the Rove. And therefore it's Tahar. Why is it Tahar? Becheskes Tara, and some kids don't touch. I don't know. Reason my kids, I might have pulled a Rav Chanina Chozal here. But okay. All kids are different. Some kids don't touch everything. However, what do the Chachamim say? The Chachamim say no. They say, Ruba Vechazaka, Ruba Adif. And therefore, Rav Meir says that the Isa is tahora, and the chachamim say the isa is tameah. So says Rav Elchanan, a double kasha. A, but yes, why are we discussing the same exact thing as the Gemara of Rav Meir and the Chachamim in various places in Shas? Why don't we use the same words of Ruba Chazak and Ruba Atif, right? And why don't we bring in, that's the word, Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Why not bring in Rav Meir and the Chachamim, right? Why have the same discussion with different people? One has an Amora with no one arguing, one has Hanoim with Machlokes, and different words, Sofik and Vadai versus Reuven Chazaka, if we're talking about the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. Not to mention the fact the Psak doesn't work, because we hold like the Chachamim that Ruba Adif, but yet we hold the Chazaka wins. Which Racham doesn't ask is the obvious question. Basically, everyone since the time of the Achronim, no Rishonim were ever bothered by this. Why? They thought the answer was obvious. We just don't know what answer they thought was obvious. All the modern day Achronim were tremendously bothered by this, right? What's the relationship between Arsu and Ruba Chazaka and Ruba Adif? How come we use different words? How come we have different people talking? We don't bring in the same shitas? And how come the psak doesn't match? Right? Doesn't make any sense. Okay, how do we answer that? That's what I plan to discuss mostly in shir today. That was the main topic of today's shir, was how to answer that question. It somehow turns out that we had too much, we got had too much fun. Not that we went to Torah for fun. But we know the opinion says, okay. Discussing other things. So we'll have to pick up with this on Monday. For Monday Shir, I know we don't have so much Seder till Monday Shir, but if I could just, I'll just balpeh. I want to start getting to the next Sugya also. The next Sugya is really hard. I must admit, I'm not as smart as you think I am. I'm not sure. I've been thinking for a long time. I've never able to figure out what is the best order in which to teach all the different inyanim in the next sugya. Because it's like this sugya. There's specific examples with each their own sugya. And then there's the principle of what's going on, except that it's much more complex there. Just to give you an example. The first two cases they say are, oh, in this case, it's like a suffix hashakl, so it's usher. And in the next case, it's a suffix hashakl, so it's mutter. It gets very confusing. So I hope that, I think either way we'll be able to understand it. The plan I think we're going to do is we're going to start with the sugya as a whole, meaning it has gevaldik gishmak sugya here. Ah, kavua, gishmak sugya. Shani omer, gishmak sugya. The shnei shmielin, gishmak sugya. Even though I'm not buying that so much. Safek bia, gishmak sugya. Each of those is a gishmak sugya in and of itself. Question is, do each of those gishmak sugyas and then, see what's going on in Chametz, in Maseches Pesachim, or do Maseches Pesachim first? Not sure what the right answer is, but Lemasa, we'll do Maseches Pesachim first, I think. We'll do Maseches Pesachim first. I don't know how long I have to change my mind. You should know, I've been wasting my time. This is learning. I've been wasting my time going back and forth about this. Do each sugya first and do the Maseches Pesachim first. We'll start with the Maseches Pesachim because that segues into what we've just been discussing. So I would say go through the Gemara until the word Safik Maga Toma Tame, the end of the Safik Bia and Daf Yudav Aleph with Rashi. Do only the two Tosafim on Daf Tesim and Beis. And then you really have to get into the Rishonim here. There's a Balamor, there's a Raven on the Balamor, there's a Ravine of David, there's a Kedusha Ran. And then there's Rambams, which are very, very hard to understand, and we'll try to do our best. Okay, I'll send that Masudim, of course, later, and we won't get through most of this on Monday, but we'll at least try to start tackling it, Amir Tzashem, on Monday after we finish up this Makor sheet. Okay, wish everyone a very, very frail Purim, and a good Shabbos, and see you, Amir Tzashem, on Monday. Okay, let me just take a picture of the board, and then anyone who wants can ask questions. See, it's going to be a little tricky taking a picture of the board. Okay, here we go. Javi, you had a question?
Why are you having a problem with the pictures today?
Because my phone, the camera app keeps crashing. Nothing to do with the lighting or anything. I just have to restart my phone.
Right.
I know if I restart my phone, then it'll take 5 minutes, and then I won't be able to take the picture. Okay, sorry. Okay, now I'm going to restart my phone. Okay, who has a question?
I noticed at Chevra Kadisha in general, they always leave at least more tefach above the body when they put the blocks above it in the Kibbutz.
Chevra Kadisha in Israel always leaves with a sef tefach. You can tell there's no oral. They put the mace, and then you don't make a mistake. They don't put the mace in the ground and then throw all the dirt on the mace. That's considered disrespectful. They put the mace on the ground. They build a little ohel of cinder blocks, like blocks on the side, and then big blocks on top. And then they throw the dirt on that cinder blocks. They always leave an ohel. Question is, why do they always leave an ohel there? They always leave a tefach. Why do they always leave a tefach? So, according to a Rashi in Nazir and the Ravid, there would be a great explanation why they always leave a tefach. Because then it's a kever sosom with Moseach tefach, but it's only Matami Maga, not the ohel. And then anyone who walks, even if you say it's Matami Bamaga up all the way, all the way, you don't know where to draw the line. Certainly if you walk in shoes, you're not touching any dirt, right? Then it wouldn't be Matami to go howling. And then, now I'm not sure exactly how that would help, because it's only a Das Yochid of the, but that's not the real reason. Somehow, it's always good to be a Mai Toma, but that's not the real reason. I think in the Sfarim it says the real reason they leave a Tefach is just for covered a mace, nothing to throw a Matara, because since they're going to throw dirt on it, if there's no tefach, it's like they're throwing dirt on the mace. But if there's a tefach, it's like they're throwing dirt on the roof of the ohel mace. And therefore, out of respect for the mace, they leave a tefach, so they won't be throwing dirt on him. That's, I think, the real reason.
And therefore, that the reason in Chutz La'aretz, because they bury in Aron, there's no problem, because there's no bizayon.
Right, exactly. Okay, Hami.
I just want to know why. Once you read the Baal Ma'ar, I don't understand why it would have been done somewhere. You don't understand why he's not right. Where's the Baal Ma'ar? Right? First of all, he's not talking about that Tessa and Aleph, right? But his question is this. So Nishmaitza, he said, we know what his question is. If it's a Safek Achila, then it should be Mutter. No, Mutter like Zera, Lach Blech Mashaira, Gavua, for sure, Mashaira, Gavua, I mean, Metzamech, and start Gizel Shabbat Torah, but we didn't get it from, so we can run the Kulo, the Loka Rabba, 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 so what does he say here? Our sugya has to be like Zeru says Belechem Vaday Meshaira. It can't be like Rav who says the suffix. Because if it was like Rav, then it would be Mutter not Tessa and Bays, because the suffix goes to be the suffix. Okay. So doesn't that mean that it could be a mitzvah because I wrote a read it up first, but doesn't that mean that he thinks that Rabbi Zera is not no shake as something what's going to be by that, whatever, he just thinks something there about a new Golokula, for sure. That's why he makes it a kipto later and changes the more.
Yeah, okay. So, maybe that's where Rabbi David is coming from. He's saying, well, how did he know, this is the question, how did he know that Rabbi Zera says it's the Vaday Meshaira? Maybe Rabbi Zera only meant Safik Meshaira, like all the other Rishonim say. Like Rabbi David. So Rabbi David must be reading like this, and he knew, how did he know Rabbi Zera and Vadik Ashaira? From Tessaman Aleph. Rabbi Zera must have been Vadik Ashaira. Because if it was a Suffolk, we'd be Mako. Suffolk Ashaira, we'd be Mako on Tessaman Aleph. But that's not the way I'm reading the Baal HaMoor. I'm reading the Baal HaMoor, no. If we only learned Tessaman Aleph, we wouldn't have known what Rabbi Zera meant. We only know what Rabbi Zera means when we get to Tessaman Beis. When we get to Tessaman Beis, we ask ourselves the question of, isn't there something the animal might eat it? And then we answer, it must be the animal for sure doesn't eat it. How could it be that the animal for sure doesn't eat it? It must be that's what Rabbi Zera meant. But not that he needed to say that to answer the question of Testament Aleph. It's only we know he said that when we get to Testament days. That's how I'm reading the Baal HaMoor. And you're reading the Baal HaMoor, maybe that's how we're reading the Baal HaMoor. No, it's not mistaken that on Testament days we should learn what Rabbi Zera meant to Testament Aleph. We have to, if we want to say what he meant to Testament Aleph, it has to come out of that Testament Aleph. I think that's what you're saying. But I'm saying I'm denying that deal. That's Rabbi David's deal. He's saying, within that Testament Aleph, why would Rabbi Zera have said Vaday Meshaira? Must be because it was something a shakal would be made of. And I'm saying that's not true. He didn't need to say Vaday Meshaira for that Testament Aleph. He just happened to hold Vaday Meshaira. How do we know he happened to hold Vaday Meshaira? Because by the time he gets that Testament Beis, we see that all the Testament Beis holds Vaday Meshaira, and that must have been the sheet of Rabbi Zera. Okay.
That's
right, you cannot like my shot in the Baal HaMoor. But Look, all else being equal, I might have said Rabbeinu Dovid has a reasonable deal from the Baal Mor. But he just gets into so much trouble, and he never actually says this. And he didn't discuss himself in the Sufi Vadai, but he gets into so much trouble in the Sufi Vadai. So it's not mistabber to me that he says this and gets himself in so much trouble when he doesn't need to say it. When he doesn't need to say it. It's a Baal Mor Chulin. About being something else to do, but I'm pretty sure that he doesn't say explicitly how he holds about this. But it is a Baal Mor Chulin. Okay? There's a Baal Mor Chulin Daf Yod, not the Daf Yerif, but the Daf Yerif HaGemara about being something else to do. But I don't think he tells us. Okay, not looks into you. Shmuel, you have a question?
And Rishut HaYachid, according to Tosfot, the Safek HaRagil only Motsi Midei Safek, or even if there's just one Safek HaRagil?
Safek HaRagil is only Motsi Midei Safek, but not because of the Chumer of Rishut HaYachid, because the rule of Ein Safek Motsi Midei Vaday anywhere. Meaning a Safek HaRagil is not Motsi Midei Vaday Rishut HaYachid, because it's not Motsi Midei Vaday anywhere. Nothing to do with Rishut HaYachid.
I mean, if there's no vada, if it's just like a general rule.
If there's no vada, then it's not motzi. Correct, meaning a suffix or regal is motzi midei or rule viser. In which just a yachid, just not midei vada.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Fail confirm.
Okay.